You're one microscopic cog in his catastrophic plan, designed and directed by his red right hand.
You're listening to The Morgue, also known as The Screamcast, a slasher podcast. I'm Dan.
And I'm Olga, and today we're discussing Season 2, Episode 11 of Scream, entitled Heavenly Creatures.
It's so heavenly. You're so heavenly.
Aww.
The show is so heavenly.
You're so sweet.
So spoiler warning, we're talking about the penultimate episode of Season 2.
Dun dun dun!
Even though apparently word on the street is there's a two-part Halloween special, so that's something to talk about later.
exactly that. Later.
Yes. Alright, so let's start by, how would you grade Episode 11?
It was really good. Mm. I don't know. Last week was like set such a high bar.
Yeah, yeah.
I would say I would probably give it an A minus.
Yeah.
On any other day, it would probably be an A, but I feel like compared to last week, nothing will match
that. It's interesting. I mean, because I almost feel like this should be an A episode, but there is a certain thing. Like, it isn't quite as powerful as last week just because it can't be, you know, like...
It's a high A minus.
Yes,
how about that?
Yes, high A minus. I can agree with that. All right. So we have a lot of emails this week because you guys are great. So thank you for that. So we're going to do sort of a truncated, you know, speed through the characters of our thoughts, and then we're going to jump right into your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to start off talking about Emma. So we started the episode with her sleeping and with the killers, presumably the killer, maybe Eli is the killer. Like,
he had the knife, like, yeah. You know, someone wanted to have the knife, you know.
I mean, the only thing I was wondering is, like, could it be Eli dressed as the killer just in case he gets caught, like the person might run away as opposed to like attack, you know, like, I don't know. It's just throwing out ideas.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. So I mean, the main thing is that they sneak in, they steal a dream journal. And she, like, wakes up, but doesn't get back in time to see them.
I mean, honestly, the fact that they took the dream journal and where the dream journal reappeared later, and what followed the reappearance of the dream journal, that makes me think that it was the killer.
Yeah. I also say, I tweeted this, that it really reminded me of last season. I think it was the penultimate episode, started with, like, a first-person view of the killer / maybe Audrey stealing, at this point I guess we can say the killer, not Audrey, stealing the mask.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of beginning, you know, just like getting us into their headspace leading into the finale.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great. I thought it was a really nice open.
Oh man, I have fond memories of that cold open.
That was a good one.
Yeah. This one was definitely good. And so on the door, a carved wooden heart, I want to say.
It's like the Daisy one, but now it was Emma.
Emma.
Yeah. So, I mean, I am very interested in what this whole, the whole branding games of it all will end up being.
They stopped mentioning Troy.
Yeah, it's interesting. There feels like there's so many loose ends that I am a little bit worried about, can they make it all make sense next episode? Because there's a lot of loose ends.
Or maybe
right
the
now.
Point is that they can't, in that sense, that's the two-part special.
Yeah. So we'll see. But as far as Emma, like, does any part of you still think Emma could have a split personality thing going on right now? Like, as far as, like, that opening sequence and her, like, waking up, like...
Well, the first thing I saw was, like, how much of this is another dream / nightmare scenario? But it's believable. Like, I feel like we've moved away from it being Emma.
I don't think I've 100% moved away. I feel I've honestly like kind of lost track of like the reasons why it can't be her. Because there's been so many episodes and so many moments and things like that. But I know that it seems very unlikely at this point that it could be her.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that she couldn't have done.
Yeah, but at the same time, her with a split personality and an accomplice, I don't think is out of the question. Maybe there was someone with her in her mental institution or whatever.
I suppose that's a good point. But yeah. I'm so lost with the Emma stuff.
I mean, all I'm saying, I'm not ready to write that off, and I would not be, like, super surprised if we got that. I still would be super excited if we got that.
But. It would be interesting how many, like, bad, like, the killer badmouths Emma.
Yeah.
So it's like, no, badmouth me so no one suspects me. Mm. But I'm also not going to know most times that you're doing it.
Couldn't you say it's like a split personality who hates, like, weak Emma? Like, stupid Emma who sucks? Like,
I mean, that's true. Yeah. It could be.
Yeah.
Okay,
so what other things do we want to talk about as far as Emma goes?
Well, she's, like, really buddy-buddy with Audrey this episode.
Yeah.
They've reconciled.
Yeah. Which, I mean, given the circumstances of what's going on, I kind of get it, but it also does feel a little bit much after last week.
I don't think it does.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense of, like, they're unifying over the pain.
Yeah.
I mean, they have both now lost someone that loves them, that they love.
It is interesting that
literally
everybody in the Lakewood Five now has lost an important person to them.
Well, isn't that what Stavo said about everybody gets one?
Is that what he was saying? Because I thought that he was saying the death rate is 1-to-1, and I thought he was talking about, like, everybody dies in the end. There's no escaping this. I wasn't sure. It could be
but
either.
But that was supposed to be a supportive message to Noah about, like, you got this.
Well,
like,
but I thought he was saying people need your podcast because death is all around us. Death is coming for all of us, and we need to talk about it.
Like, but 1-2-1 is different from 1-4-1.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You might be right that he's talking about, like, everybody's lost someone, but I think either interpretation slightly makes sense.
I mean,
you might
it does.
Be right. I'm not saying.
I just thought it made more sense of, like, Emma lost someone, Audrey lost someone, Kieran lost someone, Brooke lost someone, and they've kept going.
Yeah,
and. Now it's your turn.
Well, Noah already lost someone, too, though.
That's true.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's interesting.
I would say it's different, though, comparing Riley to Zoe.
But I will say, like, as far as, like, gender politics go or whatever, there is an interesting thing in that it isn't just the guys being motivated by the death of their girlfriends, that we are having multiple girls be motivated by the death of their boyfriends and
girlfriends.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think there is something interesting there.
Yeah.
I also do, as far as we were talking about Audrey and Emma, and that I do think there's something interesting and nice and progressive about them working together as the two final girls.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if one of them's secretly the killer, that might throw a wrench in all this.
Right.
But assuming that they aren't, that is something sort of somewhat fresh, and that, you know, there is often a criticism of the final girl trope is that there's only one, that it acts like, oh, well, there's you're special if you're the final girl.
Mm-hmm.
Most women aren't capable of this.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting because you could kind of argue that Gail is also a final girl in Scream, the movies.
Yeah.
But not really in the same way. They're like, I kind of feel like Dewey and Gail are like her protector,
distractions.
Yeah, like they're just not. They're like Gail. Like, yes, she literally is a girl and she is surviving, but it doesn't feel like the same camaraderie type of thing.
Well, from what I understand, the killer's main focus is always Sydney.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Trying to take out Sydney, and everyone else is is like consequent. You know, accidentally taken out along the way,
or like
conveniently,
or taken out of the way to hurt Sydney.
Yeah.
Whereas, now this killer is specifically going after both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's
putting them against
cool.
each other.
Yeah.
And
I like that aspect quite a bit.
Yeah.
Another big moment. So we'll talk about Eli in a bit, but skipping ahead as far as Audrey and Emma go, we have them finding the pig farm,
mm-hmm.
and we have them, not finding the pig. They've been to the pig farm before.
Yeah.
But, I got confused.
Well, has Audrey been to the pig farm?
Oh, I guess Audrey probably hasn't.
No.
I was getting confused because there's so many barns and things. I was like, so wait, is the barn that Jake died in the pig farm or is it the stables? I guess it's the stables.
The pig... goddamn. Yeah, the barn that Jake died in was disemboweled in was the stable.
Okay.
But it just so happens to be that now this video is released as Emma and Audrey are at the pig farm.
Yeah.
And Emma has a history of going to the pig farm because it's the James family farm. And the sheriff knows where it is. And Maggie knows where it is. And Emma was there as a kid, apparently. And
So let's talk about...
Brooke's been there now.
Let's talk about the video, the release of the video.
We want to go there now?
Okay. I think because I'm talking about Emma and Audrey. I feel like it makes sense. We're kind of all over the place, guys. I apologize.
This is a hard episode to, like...
organize. We could have gone scene by scene, but that's just not our style, guys.
Nah, bro.
So, yeah, the video I thought was great. I thought it was a really great thing to release in the penultimate episode. That it really raised the stakes. That there is, even if Emma isn't crazy, we're getting a payoff for all the is Emma crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's being used against her and Audrey's suspicious behavior slash protecting herself and her secrets is also being used against her. So it's this thing that was used internally against them, like in this small group, and now it's really everything is out there.
And I think that's really cool because the killer... This is, like, the killer being... Like, we've talked about in the past, but the killer being not very good at his job. It's kind of being bumbling. But this is, like, the killer really doing good as far as, like, accomplishing his goals. As far as... I think you could pretty... You could probably convict these two based on the evidence of that video. You know, like, it's pretty legitimate, like...
Except that it's, it can be easily manipulated, so...
But...
Whatever.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Even though it's not... Maybe it can... That's... I don't always like talking about it, which we do a lot of, like, the legal stuff. Yeah. It's like, well, sometimes, yes, the law does one thing, but it's also social incrimination.
Yeah,
like, it does more damage to their reputation than legal damage that would potentially stick.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, I think what's interesting is that they finally kind of made me understand. You know, I've been complaining for weeks now about why was Audrey afraid of going to the police? It doesn't make any sense. And they actually had the whole thing with Eli's letters, and they were like, this is incriminating for Audrey. I was like, oh, that kind of makes sense. Like, I was kind of, for some reason, always going under the assumption that they'd hear what she did and believe her, and believe that all she did was bring Piper here, why is that a problem? She just brought someone here. I mean, that definitely implicates that maybe she is the accomplice and they wouldn't believe her and that she'd get entangled in the whole thing.
Yeah.
So that's
in combination with the video of her with Jake's body.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially.
Okay. Is there anything else? I mean, so we should talk, I guess, about the ending, right? As far as them being caught by the police and,
It's interesting of where that puts them because it's them against the world.
Yeah. It's a good way to raise the stakes.
It definitely is. It's unexpected.
Yeah. And again, I really appreciate Acosta, you know, because he's not like being a bumbling idiot just listening to the killer's thing, but he's like, but I have to take them in. Like, you know.
Finally.
Yeah, like I can't not take them in with all this evidence.
Yeah, like even if this is a manipulation, there's more to this story that I was not told about. There is more to this that I need to know that needs to be investigated.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, like, he has to, I don't know, the one thing that keeps me from saying, oh, he's not bumbling, is there has to be at least a part of him that knows that they're not telling him everything.
Yeah.
Like, what were you doing at this party? What, he's always, you know, where Haley was killed.
Yeah.
It's like, I know you guys didn't do it. It's like, yeah, but maybe question them to actually know everything they know. Like, push them, interrogate them.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't taken that step.
Well, he kind of did in the episode where they're all trapped in the school. A little bit,
but that's the thing. That Acosta, that dickhead Acosta that we saw in that episode,
that kind of disappeared. Yeah,
that's the hard ass that he was. Yeah,
yeah. I still think overall he's one of the best cops on a show like this.
No doubt about that. I'm just saying that, like, I feel like they've also been a little inconsistent, and the promise of that guy wasn't fully followed.
Yeah.
It got replaced by the sensitive dad.
Yeah, yeah.
Confused.
And the thing is, I've been interested in every version they've shown, but there have been some sort of flip flops.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So we're gonna move on to, let's talk about Eli.
Eli.
So Eli,
the shady little shit.
Eli's interesting. So he was up late. He clearly had been outside Emma's room. So it's outside her house. So is he the one that, you know, broke in? Is the whole thing? is it a red herring, or, you know, are they setting us up to think it's him, or is it actually him? It's one of those, it's an interesting gymnastics thing where at this point I actually would be kind of surprised if it was Eli.
Yeah.
Because they've been making it seem like it was Eli so much.
And also that he's up to so much other nonsense that, like, he can't be the killer. He's occupied with other stuff.
That would be, but the thing that's complicated about, like, if it was Eli is that, like, I feel like half the audience would be like, well, that was really stupid. They made it really obvious. But then, like, I'd personally be like, well, they made it so obvious that I assumed that it wasn't that.
It wasn't that, Same with Stavo.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be pretty surprised if it was Stavo at this point, because I'd be like, I did not believe that it would be Stavo. So that's an interesting conundrum.
I'm more ready to fully rule out Stavo than I am Eli.
Yeah, I fully rule out Stavo for sure. I think that they were definitely setting him up as a potential new ongoing character for season 3. He was more ingratiated with the group by that point.
Yeah.
So as far as Eli, so his mom wants to take them away. They are paid off hush money from the mayor.
I'm assuming this is because of the burning.
Yeah. So that would be the assumption. Mm-hmm. Eli's like, hell no, I am not going.
We're staying. And then he bosses his mom around.
Yeah.
They're a mess.
Interesting connection. So then he breaks into the mayor's place and steals a bunch of his forms, and he finds out that he was, like, stealing from people, including the James family.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
And he threatens the mayor of, like, you are so screwed. Is that what was written on the notepad?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
So now the thing that's complicated here, I guess, and we can transition into the mayor's death maybe, too.
Yeah.
Get
the big stuff out of
it. Yeah. So Eli... It was the one supposedly who texted the mayor to come to the pig farm.
Yeah.
But then again, the phone was there, so did someone steal his phone, or did they just hack it and make it look like it was coming from him? Or was it Eli?
Didn't it say unknown?
Did it? Oh, you're right.
Like, why would Eli...
Oh, you're right. He wouldn't say, it's my name's Eli.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. So someone could have been walking Eli and used that situation to... So that's possible. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's a confluence of Eli was planning on going through his own, like, blackmail scheme, but the killer hacked everyone and probably bugged everyone and all that, and knows when people are up to something.
Yeah.
So with Eli threatening the mayor, he's like, oh, this is my chance to, like, wreak more havoc because the mayor is expecting to be threatened.
So now...
And we have no reason to believe that Eli knows about the pig farm.
We
know Stavo.
Yeah.
We don't know Stavo knows about the pig farm. Do we?
I'm not sure. I mean, Eli... I wouldn't be surprised if Eli knew because of...
Well, he was there for Will's funeral, and who knows what investigation
he's
done.
Yeah, that's the other big thing we didn't mention, was the Will funeral thing. That's interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if... So now, I'm still somewhat under the assumption... Like, I don't know if I actually believe this as much as I wouldn't be surprised if Eli was Troy's son, Troy being the brother, if people forget, and therefore, like, they were back in town for something involving his dad or something, and so he just happened to be there.
Yeah.
I also wouldn't be surprised if Kieran's... somehow
stepdad
is Brandon James or something like that,
or Troy James for that matter either. And here's another thing. Why, when Eli tells his mom, like, the mayor was even stealing from the James family, like, that the way that was delivered was, like, very impersonal. And, like, I feel like,
oh, it's interesting because I had a different thought about that.
Uh-huh.
But that's a good point. That it wasn't like, I can't believe he stole from us. He was like, he stole from the James. Unless he doesn't know, or he doesn't want anyone to know that he knows.
But he's just talking to his mom. Like, now, he doesn't think anyone else is there.
Yeah, well, so here's the thing. I think that line was there under the assumption that Kieran is the killer, which is my current assumption.
Mine as well.
Kieran overheard that.
Yes.
And killed the mayor.
Yes.
For stealing from his...
So that's the thing. The way Eli delivered that line, it would make sense of, like, bringing it up as a big deal, not just... It makes sense even if there's no relation, because the James family is, like, important to Lakewood's history.
Yeah.
But also of, like, exactly that connection of stealing even from the James family, and that being an important thing to bring up to his mom because they know maybe that that has a connection to Kieran.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing that's interesting too is, okay, so it's hard not to talk about Kieran. You're right. Everybody sort of influences each other in this episode.
Yeah.
So we're going to transition to Kieran a little bit, and we'll go back to the killing of Maddox in a second.
Yeah.
So there's the whole scene where Kieran finds Audrey's letters.
So the reason they even do that is because it's like, oh, Eli's in this picture. We have to investigate this. Yeah. And then Audrey and Emma are in the car, and Kieran is conveniently the one sent into the house. Yeah.
So that, I mean, I did a big tweet that a lot of people retweeted and favorited. Thank you, guys. Being like, I wonder if Kieran planted that evidence there to frame Eli. And then Kieran could have easily overheard what Eli was planning to do.
Yeah.
And then make it look like Eli was the person who got the mayor to the pig farm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the end where Eli is free and he's saying like, no, Emma, Audrey, like, come back, you know.
Where?
When Emma and Audrey are arrested.
I think you said Eli instead of Kieran.
Oh, I'm sorry. Kieran. When Emma and Audrey are arrested, and he's like, no, you can't. It's like, well, he will potentially even have enough evidence to free them a bit or interfere enough with the investigation where it will put it off of Emma and Audrey, but still have, like, allow room for the killer to mess around with that, like, him or whoever.
And it would make a lot of sense that he would want to, I talked about, like, if the killer was Kieran, how has he not killed Eli by now?
Yeah.
Well, if the plan is to pin it all on Eli in the end because they had a tough childhood together or whatever and he mistreated him or something.
Yeah.
Like, that would make a lot of sense.
The patsy.
Yeah. So let's talk about Kieran a little bit more and more detail as far as... I'm nervous because it makes the most sense for it to be Kieran, and to me, the more I think about it, the more I do think this would be a repeat of Piper.
In that it's kind of obvious.
In that they did such a good job tricking us and confusing us throughout the season, but then as we go into the finale... it's been too revealed that it's like, okay, we've cut off too many options, too many things have been made too obvious.
And too many other things are confused where they're not obvious enough, except this one, where there is opportunity on multiple occasions.
Where there's like, I mean, and like, honestly, I feel like if they were doing their job right, that Kieran would be like the best red herring I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because it's so subtle. There's nothing in your face about Kieran's the killer, but if you're like looking for all the little clues, it makes it seem like he's definitely the killer.
Yeah.
But if that was a red herring,
that would be fantastic.
That would
be so good. If my expectations about that are subverted, I will, and skillfully, of course, then I will applaud that.
Yeah.
But the whole thing of you were saying like, well, Kieran could have planted it. It's like, he's the one FaceTiming them.
Yeah.
Showing them what he wants of the room and what he's turning around. Yeah. And he's the one like reaching into this specific spot behind the mattress.
He even had time. Like he got back to the house before he FaceTimed them. So, it seems like it works very well, and especially because, you know, the whole thing we've talked about before, about him coming to Lakewood early and seeing Nina, and the hack they...
Making an excuse about that, but it's his word against a dead girl.
Yeah. So I think that that's definitely a possibility. We don't really understand his motivation, but I'm sure they could come up with some sort of... stupid motivation.
I mean, I wouldn't even say it might not even be stupid. We'll see.
I don't think I would be, like, super disappointed if it was Kieran.
Nah.
But, like...
I'd be interested in the motivation.
Yeah, I'd be interested in the motivation, but it would... Especially because I think the problem with Piper was we even knew the killer's motivation before the finale, as far as we knew they were the half-sibling, and it was the same exact thing as Scream 3.
Yeah. And this would also be a case of, like, we say, like, the killer's not very good at killing. Well, that's enough. This killer is more focused on, like, manipulation and psychological, like, undermining and those kinds of things. So,
well, that's the thing is there's so many things, like, I don't want to be disappointed because I think even up through this episode, they're doing such a good job of weaving so many different things that you're like, I don't understand what's happening, and I'm excited about it. Like,
yeah.
So
I still think that some of the things I don't understand what's happening what's mistakes. Happening are not just mistakes, but like clumsily done so that we don't know what's happening. But that's more in the first half.
So let's just talk about the death of Mayor Maddox. So an expected death.
Oh yeah.
But
especially this episode.
But I think that the reveal, the surprising thing about it wasn't his death as much as it was framing Emma and Audrey. Which I'm okay with that.
Once again, someone is taken away from Brooke. Like Brooke gets on good terms with her, or at least on like speaking terms. She comes home. Yeah. She like chides him about his fashion sense, you know, something like that. And then right as she feels like things might be back to normal, that she's ready to move past it, he's taken away from her. So
I think he was the right choice to kill this episode because he wasn't like, right after Zoe, you didn't need like another huge death.
No.
But this is still not like the clerk or whatever. Like this is a, this is someone.
It's not who Haley
has,
either.
Yeah, exactly. It has some significance to our characters.
Yeah.
So I think that that was good. Let's talk about Brooke though.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I'm most interested in is, so she sees the video, she sees Audrey with Jake.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in wondering if they're setting up some sort of confrontation or fight or something with Audrey and Brooke. And I think that would, like, a physical fight.
Oh.
I think would be kind of interesting.
I don't know if that's Brooke's style.
I don't, I mean, after the whole thing with Branson, I don't know.
She's not like, that's the thing. She's like, she didn't slap him. She scratched his face slowly or slit it. What was it? She had a knife, right?
She had a scissors.
Scissors, right. Yeah. That kind of thing. Where she's like slow and calculating. And I don't know if she's going to act bombastic and explosive towards Audrey.
Well, but she could like make her think he's okay with it and then like attack her or something. You know, like he could manipulate Audrey in some way or something. I don't know. I wouldn't, I'm saying,
but that's different from what you're saying.
I'm not necessarily talking about like a brawl as much as a some sort of violent confrontation. I would not be surprised if that happened. I mean,
I don't know. I'm not saying I would be surprised if that happened, but it's definitely in the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where I'm like, I'm not sure how they would fit that into the finale in a way where it didn't
They have to give Brooke something.
No, they absolutely do, and hopefully,
and that's like the only thing that makes any sense to
me. She needs to get something that's not just with Stavo.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Stavo thing. So I was surprised at how coupley they like. I didn't realize that I was supposed to think before this episode that they're like super coupley because I didn't. He like rejected him in the bed.
Yeah. It definitely, they've gone from, like, 0 to 60 in, like, so many cases.
Yeah, I'm a little confused, but
then back to 0.
I mean, I personally don't have, like, a huge issue with it, but, like,
it's whatever. For me, it's whatever. I'm not invested in there.
So whatever.
Oh, God, stop. Oh, yes. You people, if you listeners, not you.
You people.
You people. You podcast people. Now you know what I have to deal with. You listen to it for a couple hours a week. I always listen to it.
All right. So who else do we need to talk? Want to talk about Stavo himself?
Well, yeah, Stavo.
Yeah. So the big thing I would say in this episode for him is that he draws the mayor, which again, I think is just a red herring.
He draws him at the podium with like blood on his head. He's drawn so many people with like bloody spots that aren't.
Yeah.
Like, actually rooted in reality. Yeah.
And that's one of those things, again, where I feel like it's too on the nose.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, what's he got to go do with his art and all that stuff? I think, personally, he was going to go talk to his dad. That he was, like, finally, like, gonna listen to Brooke and show his dad what he's done and explain why he does it. And so that's what I think is happening.
She was encouraging him to, like, talk to his dad. Yeah. And I think that's the thing. If anything, Stavo does respect and like Brooke.
Yeah.
Yes, he has, like, creepy tendencies as well, but at the end of the day, I think he does know his dad loves him and cares about him, and he took his time to brood, much like his dad takes time to brood, and now they're on their way to reconciliation, but now all of this is happening, too.
Yeah, we should talk about Stavo also in connection with what Lang says about him.
Oh, yeah.
And that when he was young, he saw pictures of stuff that his dad had to deal with,
crime
dead
scenes,
bodies and stuff, and that explains a lot of it.
It does.
And that's the thing is, I think, personally, I don't think that explains that. That's like a hint of, oh, so he became a killer. I mean, that's why he's obsessed with death and can't let it go and is, like, fascinated by it, slash maybe frightened, or like that's like how he deals with his anxiety about it, or something, you know, like. And so I think that's an interesting character, and I think that makes sense, but I really do think he's a red herring.
Yeah,
for sure.
So Lang,
yeah,
how much do you believe her that she and Piper didn't know each other?
The thing about Lang is that I thought this episode was interesting in that if she's not involved in something, if there isn't another twist, then it was kind of like a lame reveal of everything having to do with her. Because the whole idea of it was just like a psych case study, and like she was just like frightened of Emma because of her dreams. Like,
she's not a good psychologist.
For sure. But I guess for like the mystery of her was actually pretty fascinating. And if this is just the reveal, I'm like, oh, okay. But
it's underwhelming.
But it could be that.
It could be. I mean, they've tied it up nicely enough. But I don't know what would make her think that Emma has attacked her and attacked Branson. Like,
I mean, it's hard to know, because the thing about Lang is that her saying that fed into the Acosta arresting Emma at the end of the episode. So she definitely like was saying things that are under the motivation of the killer,
right?
But I wouldn't think it was crazy if she was the killer, but I don't think that.
I don't think she's the killer. I just don't know if I believe her. Like, I'm not saying that she. I don't believe her thing of, like, this is just for a psych case study. Mm. I don't think she's necessarily, like, murder-motivated.
Yeah.
But she does have a relationship to Piper, I think. I think it is about redeeming Piper's name and not believing it was the Piper that she grew up with, but actually saying that out loud to a sheriff, to the police, that would make her seem crazy and might undermine her urge, like, the fact that her mission to have the, you know, Emma and the real people investigated.
Yeah. See, now, I would think you were more right about, like, I believed that theory a few episodes back, but at this point, I feel like she either told the truth already, or she has to be more involved than that, because that your theory here doesn't sound like it fits in the finale to me. Like, what are you gonna do with that?
That I don't know. Except, well, here, unless, like, the killer. Let's say it's Kieran, but whatever, the killer, fine. Yeah. They had a relationship with Piper. Piper told them about growing up in this orphanage. Their friend, or someone they passed through with, I would say their friend, because it would make sense to say it's Miss Lang. And that way, pinning things, like, the killer had sent Kieran and Emma into Miss Lang's house. Mm. Remember that? Like, there's a reason. So the killer knows about Miss Lang's relationship.
The killer knows
Piper.
Everything. Killer's omniscient.
Right, but they have to explain that somehow, even if it's just to say, Piper told me about her, why is she important enough to be mentioned? Like, I can see that as being a loose end that they don't tie up, but that would be sloppy to me.
Yeah. I get where you're going.
We don't need to see it from Miss Lang's point of view in the finale.
But the killer needs
the
to
killer
make
needs
it.
To have some sort of... Yeah. That's what I'm looking forward to, the big motive reveal, or that needs to be part of it. Yeah. It can't just be like... Hashtag mind blown again. That's a load of crap.
So, who else are we missing? Let's talk about Noah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, poor Noah.
So, Noah, again, John Carna, phenomenal acting. Really, you know, the highlight of the episode as far as that goes. I will say, I thought everybody was good this episode. Mm-hmm. Even Karen. So, I think that was great. Noah, I mean, the act of him wanting to stop his blog, stop, you know, the podcast, all that stuff. I thought that
put
was
an
a really,
end to the morgue.
Really powerful character moment for him, and a really, like, a big game changer. Now, it didn't last very long.
Didn't last more than 5 minutes,
but
really.
I'm kind of okay with that.
I mean, yeah, and I like the way that they bring him back, too. Fact that it's Stavo who's like, no, man, this is who you are.
Yeah.
And I really love the thing of Stavo showing him the art of, like, I almost said Carna. That's John Carna is the actor. Noah facing off with the killer. And this really, like, cool stylized thing of, like, Noah at his podcast and researching and investigating and staring at his murder board. Having this face. It's like that empowered Noah, too.
Yeah.
That it wasn't just, yes, he was going to do one final podcast about Zoe and dedicate the last bit of the morgue to Zoe. But he is more than that. And I like how Stavo and his relationship is also now nicely tied up too. It's believable.
Yeah. No, I like that a lot. All right. I think that's pretty much everything. We're going to jump into some of your feedback. So if you want to be part of the feedback section for the finale in the future and all that jazz, please email us at thescreamcast@gmail.com. Send us a tweet over at ScreamPod. Also, if you follow ScreamPod, that's like the best way to know when we're releasing our episodes and all that stuff.
Updated.
Yes,
by the way.
Twitter, yes. And check out our website, thescreamcast.wordpress.com. And please rate us or review us on iTunes. We had some nice ratings this week, so thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Our first email is from Maddie. Maddie says, "Oh my god, this episode was insane. But I think it cleared the air for Eli, because he didn't show up to Brooke's house wearing the costume. If he was the killer, he for sure wouldn't have gone without the costume." So this is talking about when Eli went in to steal the stuff from the mayor.
From the mayor, yeah.
Like, how dumb could you be? The phone on the stool in the barn looked like Gustavo's phone, but to be honest, I don't remember what everyone else's phones look like. Gustavo's dad is the sheriff, though. I think he stole the letters and planted them in Kieran's room. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would work.
So wait, so who... You are, by Kieran's room, I think you mean Eli's
room. Eli's room. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I don't know... What they did the sheriff have the letters that they're talking about? I didn't think the sheriff had the letters.
No.
Okay, so I think
well didn't the sheriff have a photocopy of some kind?
I didn't think he had it of the letters. I don't think he knew about Audrey.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, so the letters are Audrey letters, right?
The letters that were in the possession of Eli, yeah. Quote unquote. Yes.
Okay.
The sheriff had some weird thing. I don't remember what it was.
I'm blanking. There's so many odds and ends, guys.
Yeah.
All right. Next email. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah. But as for Eli wearing the hood, that was the crux of this. If he was the killer.
It was daytime. I also feel like the killer wouldn't have done it during the daytime.
It's not Eli. That's the thing. Yeah. I just don't think it's Eli. And this is another example of how this isn't Eli.
Yeah.
So, good point. Yeah. So that's why it's not Eli. All right. So, this next email is from Kelsey. So, in the beginning of the season, I didn't know who the killer could be. I suspected the sheriff at first because he could cover up his evidence and no one will know. Then I figured out it can't be him. I then suspected it to be Eli because he is a very suspicious character, but everyone suspects it's Eli, so it won't be him because the writers wouldn't just give him away. They would make us guess and guess.
Yeah. The thing is, Eli feels like the Branson of last season.
Yeah.
Right?
Like shady.
Yeah.
As of tonight's episode, I'm so stumped as to who the killer may be. Then again, we might not even know the killer to begin with. Anyway, back to... So, how would you feel if it's someone we don't know?
If it was Brandon James or Troy James.
Or...
I think that would be, the worst thing they could do, honestly.
I agree.
I mean, unless it was, we didn't realize one of the people we knew was Troy James, but I just don't know how you would do that.
Yeah, no, yeah. Me neither.
I think it's
it
far
was the
more,
janitor!
Yeah, I think it's far more likely it's, Troy James's son. Though, I am also sick of the whole...
The children
thing, So, I don't know.
So, it's time for it to be a parent or something?
I don't know.
It's the grandparents of the Jameses. Yeah. Anyway, back to tonight's episode. The beginning was the usual kind of creepy when it came to this show. Then Noah brought up Zoe and started to get emotional, and he said he's stopping his horror obsessions, and I was not okay. Being obsessed with the murders and having the murder board and the morgue is a part of Noah. Mm. If he stopped then, the killer would win, yes. Because Noah would have died in a way. Now, don't kill me for saying this, no pun intended. I was never really a fan of Zoe, but seeing Noah the way he was at the hospital was heartbreaking. Then, when Kieran found Audrey's letters to Piper and Emma's pictures, I came up with an answer. Eli isn't the killer, he's the accomplice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I now think the killer is Eli's mom. It makes sense. In tonight's episode, she said he knows what we have done. Then... dumbasses that they are. I like that you blocked off with the stars, dumbasses. Olga has no problem saying dumbasses. All right. Then dumbasses that they are, Emma and Audrey went to the pig farm. The place it all started. When they found Emma's dream journal, I was in complete shock. When the mayor came to the pig farm, I knew he was going to die. The killer killed Brooke's boyfriend and dad in the same place. I don't think this is the same place.
Yeah, I think it's confusing as hell, though.
Because it's just abandoned barns and things. Now that we're on the topic of Brooke, she knows Audrey knew the entire time that Jake was dead. The killer is turning everyone against Audrey this season. Anyway, framing Emma and Audrey was the ultimate plan for the killer. Well, besides killing them. For now. Killing them for now. Also, I think Gustavo is the close with the killer. That's why he draws everything that happens. And Kieran always shows up at the most suspicious times. But I really don't think he can be the killer. We will need to see. Finally, next week's episode, the killer won't kill both Emma and Audrey because someone needs to live to tell the story. The killer was so close with Audrey, I don't think she will die. And Emma is the main character. In most shows, the main character lives. Then again, Scream isn't like most shows. We will hopefully find out who the killer is in the finale. Damn, next week is the finale already! Also, just thought I needed to add that if Scream does not get renewed, I might become the killer. Just kidding. It better be renewed. Thanks for reading this. I hope it's what you expected to hear. See you next week. Yours truly, Kelso Queso Dip.
Okay.
I'm sorry I revealed you as Kelsey in the beginning. Queso dip.
Oh, so many things to think about here.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that Eli's mom is a definite possibility because we know so little about her.
Yeah.
It would be a lot like the character in Scream 2.
Someone who's kind of been there.
Yeah, I think that would work. And I don't think that would be disappointing as long as the motivation was good.
But if she was the killer,
yeah,
why would she want to leave before their mission is accomplished?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know. Like, and also what you said about the who are the Jameses, that felt a little strange, you know?
Well, it wasn't who are the Jameses.
I think she actually said, and then he goes, like, they're only the most famous family here.
Oh, something. I blanked on that, sorry.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that happened. Mm.
Jury's out on that.
But so, it's a little, I don't know. I think she's definitely, I understand why people think it might be her, but I'm not sure. She's like B tier in my suspect list.
Yeah, same.
Anything else that we need to cover from that? I do think Eli could be an accomplice and not the main person.
Yeah.
And that would be okay with me. As long as, because I wouldn't really mind him being revealed as long as there was another bigger reveal.
Right. But then I don't think, if he's the accomplice,
yeah.
I don't think I'd be okay with him. With Kieran being the killer. Like, I don't think Eli can be Kieran's accomplice.
That would be interesting, though, if they could make it work.
Yeah, I don't think they could.
I don't think they could, but I do think that like, seeing them together as the killers would be kind of cool.
It would, yeah. But I don't know how they would pull it off. There's so much confusion.
All right, so from Zach, we have, holy fuck is their subject line.
Classy.
long-time listener, first-time emailer. At first, the episode started kind of slow for me, and I assumed it would mostly be Eli-centric, which terrified me, but once the video was uploaded, the episode quickly turned intense. I love the idea of the killer framing Emma and Audrey. It felt like a fresh idea that hadn't been done in the Scream films for the killer to frame the final girl, with parentheses. I'm eager to see Brooke's reaction not only to her father's death, but to Emma and Audrey's possible involvement. My only complaint about the episode is that it couldn't be more obvious Kieran is the killer, or at least one of the killers. If he's the big reveal, I at least hope his accomplice is someone interesting. I'm hoping for Daisy. I think she was the original killer in 94.
Ooh.
That was a big theory of mine in season one that I kind of forgot about.
Mm.
Daisy would be a really good reveal. That would be a great... I'm almost sad. Like, if that happened, I'm almost sad that I read this because I would not have thought of her at all.
I know.
I totally forgot about her.
It would be great.
I'm so sad that the show might not get a third season. I'm hoping the Netflix exposure gives MTV enough incentive to give us one more season at least. I mean, let's be real. Almost every other show on MTV is struggling, and whatever show replaces Scream's time slot will probably be canceled too. MTV is just a flop channel, period. Love the podcast.
As for MTV, my issue is that they gave up on the show.
Yeah.
That's where it stands. Like, they didn't believe in it, I guess, because they had... they had it premiere at an 11 o'clock time slot on a Monday.
Well,
like,
the thing is,
Not even a Friday night, a Monday at 11.
I don't know how, if it gets canceled now, I don't know how to feel about that, because when I first, like, when midway through the season I was hearing it might not get a third season, I was like, you know what, that's, like, okay with me. Like, I enjoy talking about the show, I enjoy the show, but, like, it hasn't been that good. Yeah. And, like, you know, two seasons for this kind of, like, you don't want, I don't want five seasons of the show.
I don't either.
I do want three seasons of the show.
Yeah.
Just because I think if you have a different killer five seasons in a row, it's going to be ridiculous. But
especially haunting the same people.
Yeah, exactly. But it's gotten so good in, like, the last four episodes that I'm like, oh, God, don't, like, but at the same time, it'd be good to end out on
strong,
top.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know what to think. But this, I do think that this stretch of episodes is the best the show has ever been.
I agree.
Yeah.
I would be very fascinated in this Halloween special idea. Yeah. How 100% are we on that?
I'm pretty sure that the actress who plays Maggie said it, so it seems pretty likely.
Okay. Okay. I don't know if I've seen a primary source for that, so.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. Let's talk about that for a second before we go into the other emails. As far as if there is a two-part Halloween special, my assumption is that the finale ends on a slight cliffhanger. It's probably similar to how season one, we got the reveal of Piper, but then it still ended on a cliffhanger about Audrey.
Yeah.
I bet it ends something like that, and then the show is gonna get canceled, and they're like, please don't let it get canceled on this cliffhanger, and so they're like, okay, well, you'll probably do well around Halloween, we'll give you these last two episodes.
Yeah.
That's completely conjecture from me. I'm glad we at least will get that, if I'm right.
The thing is, if they're gonna do that, they need to have a way of it being approachable for
people who are just like, I want to watch it
as a casual, like, ooh, it's a Scream property around Halloween on MTV. Let me, like, take a couple hours to watch this.
Yeah.
Like, there has to be an approachability factor, which is why I feel like there is going to be a reboot, like, part to it of College Years or
we'll see. Something. That would be interesting. I think that would be kind of cool. But then think about, then you have to put all this extra money into something that is going to be done.
I don't, but here's the thing. Maybe depending on Halloween does, it might turn into a
new Scream, you know, spin-off or
Scream
something.
Halloween specials, not necessarily with these people, but like as a thing MTV might do, because
that would
this
be kind of cool. Especially because if you think about it, if they air the two episodes together, that's basically close to the length of a Scream movie.
Yeah.
They can basically just make Scream TV movies, and I'd be perfectly fine with that.
Right? Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
So, next email?
Yep, next email.
I'm reading this one.
Oh, my.
It's from Colin.
Firth.
No, but that would be pretty... I was like, Perth, like the city in Australia, and you said Firth. Anyway, I digress. Well, I'm officially announcing my bid to run for the next mayor of Lakewood. I'm kind of surprised they offed Mayor Maddox, because I assumed if they were going to do it, it would be early in the season. That being said, while I want him endlessly dragged through a field of cactuses, razor blades, and knives, and then dropped in a vat of salt, I have to hand it to Eli, who I'm presuming is the killer. He is one smart motherfucker. Damn, boy.
Violence.
That's something. You're more creative than this killer has been. He managed to get Maddox to the farm while Emma and Audrey were there and put together that exclusive episode of The Morgue. His death better be long and painful and fun to watch, because I'll be damned if I'm not pumped for the season finale. Although it begs the question, why did Kieran call Maggie? Kieran called Maggie.
Oh, Kieran called Maggie to tell them that they're going to the pig farm.
Right.
That's important.
That's how the sheriff knew where to go.
Oh, snap.
Or bad. Don't send us emails about how we missed this, because Colin here fixed it for us. Damn.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
That is a big deal. That's a big strike in Kieran's direction, not Eli.
Yeah.
So, just as a quick aside about the exclusive morgue video, it's interesting that that came up on Noah's computer after Stavo emailed him that page that I mentioned.
Yeah.
The graphic novel part. I'm not saying that's because Stavo is the one who purposely did it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that it's,
like, it's
a way in, and that kind of explains how it access the morgues, like, database.
Yeah, I mean, I will give them credit that even though I personally am kind of dismissing Stavo at this point, they are still adding plenty of things.
They're still adding stuff. Yeah. We still don't know where his relationship with Branson is, by the way.
But also, as far as the, as far as the exclusive episode goes, what I was thinking about was, I was like, I just love the idea of picturing the killer, like, editing together this movie and, like, taking pictures of his hands with a knife.
Yeah.
And, like, but then I was like, wait a second. Something that I've forgotten about that was kind of a big deal in the beginning of season one is that Kieran was into horror films.
I forgot about that.
So that's kind of that might be important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, by the way, the next part of this email, I'm not reading it yet, but it says that it's mentioning the preview.
Okay.
The promo for next week. So,
there's not a ton of stuff in the
promo. There's not, but I'm just letting you know, yeah, if you don't want to know anything about the promo, maybe skip forward like 30 seconds into this, yeah, I think. All right. So, based on the preview for the next episode, it might be it was just a call, but Maggie freaked out, but who knows? That all being said, I also love how the killer managed to turn the whole town on Emma and Audrey. God, I am so fucking pumped to watch the final episode next week. As always, I love the Scream podcast and look forward to next week's finale episode, but I'm also kind of sad that it very well could be the last one for the series.
Mm. Unless we're right about this Halloween thing.
I'll make sure to enjoy next week's show incredibly more. Love you. Love the show, guys. Thank you.
Great
Thank
reading you. Abilities.
We're
very
no
much...
offense, Colin. There's some weird grammar there. Not me. Not just on me.
I'm very much aiming to have Nare also on the podcast for next week. We'll
she
see
was
how
supposed
it works.
To be on this one.
Yeah.
But something came up.
Yeah. She had family stuff. I don't know, dude. So much to say. Let's move on to the next email. Okay, we have an email here. They say, please just read my first name. So your first name is Angela. So, hi, Angela.
Hi. Da, 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 da.
All right. Long-time listener, first-time emailer. In Scream... Oh, yeah, they want me to say it in the Scream Killer voice. I apologize.
Do it again. Do it now, Dan.
I'm on the spot, guys. I can't do it.
He's not... He's terrible at making jokes as long as they're spontaneous, but...
I'm trying to figure out who this killer is, who this killer or duo is, and it keeps coming back to Stavo for me. For a while, it seemed far-fetched and highly unsatisfactory, but hear me out on this one. In tonight's episode, I think Stavo hacked Noah by giving him that email that Noah opened, and it caused the virus on his computer. Fast forward to the barn, we see the cell phone that was being used to contact the mayor, and it was Stavo's phone. Couldn't be Kieran's phone, although he always looks suspicious, because Kay has an iPhone and Stavo has an Android. Interesting. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Now we might ask, why would Stavo be the killer? What is his motivation? I think that Sheriff Miguel is Troy, and Maggie and Mayor Maddox both know he is Troy. That's a really interesting thing.
Interesting.
That would be interesting.
She calls him Miguel.
Also, how, like, racially does that make sense?
I mean...
I guess we don't know, but...
We don't know what the James family...
No, but wouldn't Piper be Hispanic?
Not necessarily. I mean, there's people who are, like, of Hispanic... Well, so, okay. It's... That's the thing where it's, like, a lot of Hispanic people are from European descent and could have more European, quote, features. Yeah. So it's one of those things.
It's not totally out of the realm of possibility. I think that's a really interesting idea.
Yeah.
And I had talked about that way a long time ago and kind of forgotten about it. Like episode 2 or 3 of the season.
But isn't he the one who brought up Troy once? It wasn't Maggie?
They never actually said Troy's name.
They never said Troy.
I don't think so.
I could have sworn someone said Troy.
I might be wrong. I think we just assumed it was Troy.
No, I'm not talking about, like, I'm thinking back to the first half.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure.
I don't know.
But I do think that's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
So Miguel is Troy and Maggie Mayer Rockwell.
But they drove to the pig farm.
Who did?
When we have the flashback of Brandon.
Oh, yeah.
She, like, comes up to him, and she runs up to, is like, Miguel, I need your help. Mm. And then they drive to the pig farm.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Oh, but didn't they have a house that was separate from the pig farm, though, that we heard?
But they drove there.
Yeah, the house.
The house is...
No, but I thought that originally Brandon James lived, like, right next door to Daisy.
Right.
So, do they have multiple properties, is my question.
I suppose.
Yeah.
But that is also a fully furnished house.
Yeah. Anyway,
I don't know. If you're asking me about stuff from season one, yeah. I struggle to remember.
Why else would Maggie go to Miguel of all people to help Brandon after he was shot? And why would Miguel help? I think it is because it was his brother, and he left Lakewood after everything happened with his family. He wanted to come back to Lakewood after the Arizona incident, and Mayor Maddox helped him come back as Miguel, not Troy. Also, Stavo's drawings seem to predict or show what happened between the killer and the victims. How does he know before anyone else does? If Stavo is the killer, I'm not sure if this is just him, or even if he would be the accomplice, or who would be his accomplice. Let me know your thoughts. Thank you, Angela.
Well, as for Stavo knowing what's going to happen before it happens, he drew a picture of, like, a decapitated Zoe, like, weeks ago.
Yeah.
And she wasn't decapitated. And the mayor wasn't, like...
Yeah, didn't kill the mayor.
Bashed on the head. He was impaled with a pitchfork, so...
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, it's interesting.
You bring up interesting points.
I think, actually, honestly, the most interesting point for me is that why did Maggie go to Miguel? That's a really good point.
And did Maggie, as a child, when she saw him, did she say Miguel? Or did she just say, like, help? I'm pretty sure she said Miguel. So, why is...
We should watch that later. Yeah, that's an interesting point.
We need to, like, go back pre the finale and, like, watch certain scenes.
Yeah, I was very close last week to just binging through season one again.
If I have time, I might do that before next week.
Yeah, I might try to do that.
For me, it'll be binge number two.
All right, here you go. You get the big kahuna.
All right, so this is the email from Daniqua Fry, Stavos Brook on Twitter.
They apologized ahead of time for any potential spelling errors because they were trying to get it in before I started the podcast. So.
All right, you're fine. You're in. You got it. Yeah. All right, I'd give this episode a B-. It was okay, but after last episode, this paled a lot in comparison. Kieran Wilcox? No one talks about this, but why is his last name Wilcox and not Hudson? Was his stepdad's last name Wilcox? Why would he take that name instead of Hudson? It could have been his mom's last name.
Yeah, that would be my assumption.
Yeah. I have my mom's last name. Anyway, they gave us a clear view of the killer's shoes. The killer didn't want to kill Emma or to be caught, so what's really their purpose? They left the dream journal and came back for it later, right? Why go out a different door? I don't remember seeing the killer's shoes.
We did see the killer's shoes.
What did they look like?
They were just like black killer shoes. Yeah,
black killer shoes at the black killer shoe store. Interesting, Dan. Okay. I'm never taking you shoe shopping.
I'm going to get black killer shoes.
Italian leather. All right. Them taking down the murder board was sad, but I guess it made sense. Eli at Will's funeral. Creepy. Was it possible that Eli wanted to see Kieran and found him at the funeral and thought it was a bad time to talk to him, so he left?
Wait, hold on one second. I'm having an idea here.
Okay.
What if there are, like, five killers? What if everyone who seems obvious is the killer, but it's just that the reveal is that there's so many of them? Like, what if it is Eli, Stavo, Kieran, Eli's mom?
But the thing is that there's only one person manipulating Audrey and Emma like this.
I don't think
they're working together.
I would be surprised if there's not at least two killers working
together. Well, no. But what I mean to say is, like, one is the primary and one is the accomplice.
I'm just going to say, if there are three or more killers, I called it.
I'll let you have this one, and I will... I suppose I'll be like, bravo, Dan, but, like...
Here's the thing. I feel like there's so many loose ends.
What about Emma? What if she's one of the
killers? That'd be great, too. Because I'm just saying, there's so many loose ends as far as, like, Eli was at the funeral, but Stavo and Miguel, what did Miguel do? And, like, and, you know, Kieran, what was Kieran, like...
Yeah. All right. Was it possible... Okay, sorry, I lost my place.
Yeah,
Dan's excitement is contagious. Mm-hmm. Okay, Eli getting angry at his mom once again. I think they're con artists. She listens to him way too much instead of being a parent. So maybe they're business partners too. If Eli was the killer, wouldn't he be dressed up in the costume versus an all-black outfit when he went to go look for through the mayor's office?
Okay, the one thing I have to say about that... So no matter what, I feel like it's strange that he went during the day.
Yeah.
But if I was the killer and it was the middle of the day... I wouldn't wear the killer costume.
Also, there is a chance that then the mayor would run away from him and then go be like, that would turn more attention of like, oh, the mayor is involved in the killer's dealings. Yeah. We have to pay more attention to the mayor. And then that would make it more difficult for the killer to get him.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just saying, I feel like it could go either way with that.
Yeah. All right. I don't think Miss Lang is involved in the killings, but if she somehow is, she has to be an accomplice. Maybe the brains behind the operation.
She's the sixth member of the killing squad.
Instead of a suicide squad, it's the killing squad. Sure, it's possible. The Scream Squad.
No,
there we go.
They're the Lakewood Six.
Whatever. Sure, it's possible for her to escape the hospital, but unlikely a nurse wouldn't notice or stop her. Eli grabbing a beer with his mom. LOL. How do y'all feel about Miss Lang's backstory on Stavo? I wholeheartedly believe she's telling the truth. Stavo could have a little more tact and not draw people bloody and dead while killings are happening, but I buy that that's his way of coping.
Me too.
Tact is not a thing that many of the people in this show have.
Well, I thought it was interesting that Noah outright called out. You're not very good at empathy, are you?
Yeah,
that was
even
that we talked about. Like, is he a sociopath? Like,
that
what
was
is?
Funny.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah,
you don't need more empathy, Noah. All right. Stavo visiting Noah in the hospital was the moment I've been waiting for. I heard news a few weeks back that they'd become closer friends, and that's all we get? Kind of a letdown. But there could have been some great scenes between them trying to figure out who the killer is. If some of the later Brooke and Stavo scenes were cut, and some of the Zoe-Noah scenes were cut, then those Noah and Stavo scenes could have been in the show. I get what you're saying, but I like the Zoe and Noah scenes, and I tolerate the Brooke and Stavo scenes. The fact that Brooke has another love interest isn't the problem for me, but that most of her scenes have reduced her to being interesting because she has another love interest. There we go.
Yeah.
This is my big problem. Also, way too soon for her to move on. I mean, some of us wanting to see the romance on the show have waited 11 weeks to see something happen, but it's only been about 2 weeks on the show. Do you think that was overlooked by the writers, or do you think that the writers wanted to make it obvious that Brooke was using Stavo to escape reality for a bit? I still think she likes him, but there was no reason for them to speed up their development that fast.
I think they're catering to their demographic, to be honest.
Especially
because nobody else is really doing romance stuff right now.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't had, like, a Kieran and Emma sex scene or anything recently, and now we're killing off Zoe, like...
Not since the beginning, when we were like, who the hell is the Stavo kid?
Yeah.
Just backtracking for a second, I just want to say that as for, like, Stavo and Noah's friendship and that kind of thing, I never really bought how influential the morgue and, like, addictive and, like, interesting the morgue podcast was from an outsider's perspective. Like, I could see why Noah was really into it, obviously, and for him.
I think you're crazy, to be
honest.
That's
fine.
This is Serial from the perspective of a victim.
I know.
Like it's...
I'm just saying they didn't sell it to me. I'm not saying that's not what it is. Yeah. I'm saying I didn't feel like it was a strong enough... Like, the most they would do is have, like... They would have, I'm obsessed with... And the reason... I'm obsessed with the morgue. And the reason that never resonated with me normally was because before she was like, Noah, we can't date. And then the next time they talk, it was, well, I'm obsessed with the morgue.
She had already talked to people about the morgue before.
She had, but I'm just saying the reason that didn't, like, sit normally with me was where it was a flip-flop.
I don't know. I don't think they needed to sell it, because I think the premise of what that podcast would be if it was in real life would be a humongous success.
I suppose.
There are interviews with all the victims, including the victims that, like, killed the killer.
That's true.
There's still theories out there about, is there a second killer? Like, it's, like, more interesting than Serial.
I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm just saying, for me, it didn't sell it.
And it's like hot teenagers. Like, I would totally do well.
Hot teenager. It's a podcast. What does hot teenagers
have
to
do with it? Yeah, but it's like the idea of, like, fangirling over them.
Okay. No, I'm just saying, for me, it was just a kind of thing. But this, the Noah and Stavo scene in the hospital is the most I ever bought it.
Yeah.
So I liked that.
Yeah.
All right. So coming back to it. Oh, and Stavo sending the comic strip to Noah through his email could have easily allowed him to hack him. Stavo doesn't seem that tech savvy, though. One thing that bothers me is that he has a nice expensive iPad to draw on, but not an iPhone, lol. Brooke's all black ensemble morning. Yes. Her voicemail is really funny. Leave a message if you have to, but I really rather text. Such a millennial. I hate voicemails, by the way. I always feel like I'm in trouble when I see a voicemail, because only my mom releases voicemail. I'm like, oh shit, I messed up. So when Kieran had
I'm gonna leave you a lot of voicemails.
Please don't harass me. in the morning when I ignore your calls because I'm sleeping. All right, so when Kieran had the letters, why didn't they all stay in Audrey's car to discuss them? Why be out in the open in front of his house? Eli could have gotten the pictures from Troy James's house if it was him in the black hoodie outside the house when Miguel was looking around. Mm. Yeah, we still don't know who that guy was. What are you doing with your hands, you weirdo? I'm trying to distract me. Do we really think Stavo or Eli are the killers at this point? Sure, they look sketchy AF. But what satisfaction would any of us have if they are?
Who are the Stavo and Kieran?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Stavo and Eli.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, Dan thinks, like, everyone's a killer, so he would have a lot of satisfaction. How many killers do you think there are?
7.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. I think we have 2. I think because a lot of people are suspecting there to be 2 killers, there could be 3. There we go. Yeah. It could be 3. That would be really wild, but also a really interesting reveal. Some people are saying it's Kieran and Brooke. Eh, I would be okay with that, I guess. My concern is that it's not very obvious that Kieran could be the killer, but the fact that everyone thinks he is has me nervous. What if he is and his reveal isn't great? I want him to be the Billy Loomis, but that's not surprising.
Yeah, there shouldn't, honestly, like, as much as it was, like, exciting to, like, theorize about it, now that, like, I'm faced with the prospect of him being the Billy Loomis, I'm like, why would you shouldn't, when you're writing a TV show based on a series of movies, do not recreate the killers from the past, because we already know about those killers.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like a terrible idea.
Yeah. Why didn't Kieran just call Miguel instead of telling Maggie? The phone that Quinn's found in the barn looked like Stavo's, but a lot of people could have an Android. I have an Android, sadly, so I guess I'm the killer. The big reveal!
Also, again, even if it was Stavo's, we don't know if, like, the killer stole Stavo's phone or something.
Yeah. Anyway, Stavo didn't know about the papers that Eli found. I guess it could have been in Miguel's files, but if they were Quinn's, Quinn would have been arrested again. I see. Mm-hmm. So how would Stavo have found out and gotten him to the barn? I could buy that when Stavo gathered his drawings before he left his room, that he went to show them to someone, maybe a professional. I just don't see a reason for him to bring them along if he was going to kill Quinn at the barn.
Yeah.
Audrey and Emma are caught red-handed at the barn. Dying 101. Never take out the weapon that pierced you. But it was the mayor who did that, not them. Mm. The mayor was the one who pulled
it
out.
Was he?
I don't even remember. I was thinking the same thing. Yeah. I was like, no, don't. Mm. And then it was like, well, you're dying, so.
Whatever.
We need you to die faster. shouldn't Quinn know he'd bleed out if he removed the pitchfork? That death wasn't very satisfying.
It wasn't. It was one of the most bleh
deaths. No one we really cared about has died besides Jake and Zoe, and I felt sadder about Jake because I didn't trust Zoe enough to like her that much. Well, that's why her death was satisfying, because it, like, took down so many theories and was super emotional. At least for me.
Yeah.
She was really adorable, though. Anyway, it was spread around the internet earlier in the season that only three...
What?
Should I read this part?
Super spoiler?
I don't know. It's like an internet rumor.
Okay, I don't want to know it. I'm sorry.
Okay. Wait.
What are you doing?
No, I'm reading this part!
No, don't read it!
Well, no, it doesn't make sense.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
No, I don't want you to read it.
Well, I already read it. It was one sentence.
Well, I don't want to know.
I'm not going to tell you. Okay, so I can't read anything else here, actually. Right, it's 2 sentences, but one of them is just, like,
Daniqua's
preferences about survivors. Let me just say that. Okay, yep, that's it. Right. Thank you, Daniqua, for...
Okay.
Your email.
Okay.
Put a tag on your spoilers next time. Yes, thank you very much. On, even if they're there. That goes for everybody.
Yeah. So, especially when it's like the final episode. I don't
But it's an internet rumor. Yeah. So how?
Yeah. But I don't know. People were like, see set photos and things like that. So
speaking of which.
Yeah, we'll get to that in 1 second.
We'll get there.
So here's the thing. I think before we get into our last thing, I want to talk about who we think will die in the finale. My personal feeling is at least 2 killers will die and 1 victim.
Yeah.
And I'm not really ready to decide who those are.
I want Maggie to die.
I do too.
But I think a young person needs to die too. I would say...
Who's even left that you would kill off at this
Eli.
Point? Okay, yeah. Okay, so let's say Maggie, Eli, and Kieran die.
I would call that.
Yeah, that seems good. That's my...
The problem is, here's what I call a problem. Mm. Arguably, we're going to have 3 final girls. Emma, Audrey.
Yeah.
And that's Brooke.
I don't call that a problem.
No, I don't call that a problem. I think that's a good thing. It would be revolutionary.
Yeah.
But what are the odds that we actually have all three of them?
Well, see, I'm not convinced that one of them won't be the killer either.
That's true. So, I don't think Brooke is, and I don't think Audrey is, Emma.
I'm not convinced that Emma isn't the killer.
I agree, but you made it sound that one of them, one of them being Emma.
I think Brooke would be too much of a swerve.
It would be ridiculous.
I don't want that.
There would be no honesty in what we've witnessed if Brooke is the killer.
Now, okay, let's talk about this, actually. Is there any possibility that Audrey is still lying to everyone? Like, it's possible, right? She's lied quite a bit.
Well, she's being manipulated by someone.
Yeah, so I don't know.
No.
Okay, I think we're ready to let go of that.
Yeah, I'm like, you just had me questioning something for that in no way makes sense. Okay.
All right.
I don't want any of them to die.
Yeah.
But it would be weird if they didn't.
I don't think it would be.
I wouldn't be surprised if none of them died. I kind of want Emma to die.
Especially if Kieran died. Like, I think that's it's not like they're not killing off
a major character. I would like Emma to be killed in a bombastic way.
I agree.
Potentially with her being revealed as a killer.
So, all right. We're going to end off with a thing that potentially could be spoilery. We're going to speculate about an image we've seen. We don't know what it means. So if you don't want to know anything, leave now.
Or forever hold your peace.
Yeah. All right, so I don't know who sent us this picture. I'm a little upset with them. I don't remember who it was.
Sent it to us on Twitter.
Yeah, and it was a while ago, and so when they sent it to us, I was like, oh, this isn't a big deal. It's probably just a red herring or something.
It'll be in the next episode. Yeah,
we're at the finale, and we still haven't seen this. So there was a picture of Emma and Eli kissing, and Eli was wearing the Scream hood. The ghost face outfit. And,
without the face, obviously.
Yeah, and so, that's, like, now I'm getting nervous that there are killers are Emma and Eli, and that I got spoiled on that weeks ago.
Yeah.
I will say, you know, the reason why I'm extra nervous is because I think that would be a great reveal.
It would be.
That would be a really...
I'm super pissed that... Yeah. If that's the reveal...
Yeah.
And we saw that. I will find you who sent that to us. I will go through my mentions until.
Yeah. Because that would be, I think that would be a really powerful reveal. I would love to see Emma be psycho and that Eli did the things that we didn't know, like that he couldn't have done.
Yeah.
And it would be a really good thing. And that was why Eli was so obsessed with her, because he was obsessed with like her alternate self or whatever.
The side of her dual personality or whatever.
And it would be really powerful to end off on that, and I would still hope that Kieran would die, and then, you know, my preference here is that Emma, Eli, and Kieran die.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, but, you know.
That would be cool.
And then
it would be interesting.
And that's the thing is, then that's why we have two final girls, so that one of them can die. And I like, yes, that loses the progressive thing that I talked about, but I don't love Emma's character, so
she's been way better in this last run, but she's still kind of terrible.
Yeah, and I still would rather the two final girls be Brooke and Audrey.
Yeah.
So if we bring Brooke back into the fold more.
And they are really solidifying Brooke as a final girl, too, now with the death of her dad.
Yeah. So, I don't know. If that's the reveal, I'll probably still be excited because it's a cool reveal that I wouldn't have seen coming, and that will, you know, be cool to see that happen.
But would it be cool, Dan? That's the question.
It would be super cool. But yeah, I'll be pretty upset. Like, and again, I don't know. I'm not assuming the picture was sent like with malice or anything.
No, I think it was look what I found. Yeah. It's the same reason that I've stayed away from a lot of promos and things like that.
I mean, I just assumed that picture was a dream sequence. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I did too. Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, it still could be. You know, who knows? But.
But. Maybe it was a leak that was a red herring from their social media department. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. That would actually be a really good leak if they did that on purpose, just to trick you. All right.
Oh, I don't think it was an official leak by any means.
All right. Any last words?
That was ominous, Dan. Stop laughing maniacally. I'm excited for the finale. It really turned around. I really wasn't very excited to podcast on it in the first half of the season. I'm super excited now. I'm glad we're doing.
Yeah.
Doing it.
We're doing it.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
So, you know, follow us on at ScreamPod on Twitter. I'm at OlgieBolgy. We both live tweet. We'll be live tweeting the finale.
And check out my live tweeting of Dead of Summer over at TV After Dark on Twitter.
Right before Scream. Yeah.
Yep. All right.
So,
scream you later.
Scream you later.
Oh, my God. Bye.
Bye.